You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
All right, so Brendan Shanahan, the president of the Maple Leafs, will be stepping up to the podium in Arizona momentarily. You'll be able to hear that right here on TSN 1050. This is Overdrive with Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Breaking news this afternoon. Mike Babcock has been fired as the head coach of the Maple Leafs. Sheldon Keefe taking over as the 31st head coach in franchise history. Again, Shanahan is down in Arizona. He will be speaking with the media. We believe Dubas will be involved tomorrow. And at that point, tomorrow after skate, Sheldon Keefe will come out and speak. Mike Babcock has been issuing statements through the media. He's spoken with a few different media members. He's taking the high road for the most part. You know, he thanked the city, the team, the fans, which is what you would expect. This is
Larry Tannenbaum.
Larry Tannenbaum
Morgan
got a shout out. Lou Lamoriello, a friend for life, and Lou. No comment about Dubas and Shanahan and Matthews and Marner. And not necessarily surprised by that.
Right.
I understand why he's not going to be happy. This is going to take a huge chunk out of his ego.
Sure.
And everywhere he's gone, he's had success. And they had relative success here based on
regular
the history
season.
Of the Maple Leafs, regular season success. And believe me, people in Toronto were starving for that. And he got them to the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
But they're 9-10-4. They're reeling. They've lost six games in a row. It's ugly. The change is not overly surprising. The debate is whether or not it's going to work. Do they have enough time to respond with Sheldon Keefe behind the bench? Do they have the right players?
Like,
at this point, through 23 games, they're not a good team.
The right players or enough good players. You've dumped a lot of money into a bunch of players, and sometimes the depth is just not there.
Still the same roster construction. Can it be deployed differently? Absolutely. But, you know, there's Freddie the Goat still on the team.
Right.
Jason Spezza, not a 23-year-old Spezza.
They got
the 35-plus Spezza.
Cody Ceci and Justin Hall killing penalties.
Tyson Barrie still struggling.
That's
you've
right.
You've got to find a way.
All right, so here comes Brendan Shanahan speaking to the media down in Arizona.
I'd like to start off by saying you know, that I have a tremendous amount of gratitude to Mike Babcock for coming here, laying the foundation for what we had wanted to accomplish. He did a fantastic job, and as I said in our release, his work ethic every day and his commitment was fantastic. So I really appreciated him coming here. It was unfortunate to have the conversation we did today. I'm speaking here now because Kyle is talking to the players, and Kyle has handled the rest of the staff and basically communication through the rest of the organization and now, like I said, with the players. But it wasn't an easy conversation to have, and it wasn't pleasant. Days like today are not, but it was what we felt was important for the club, and something once you realize that there's something that you should do and have to do, then it's best to act on it.
How did you reach that decision?
You know, I think it's just been something that you watch and you've been monitoring for a while, and Kyle and I are in constant communication. I think that it really just came down to the last couple of weeks, and it got to the point where, you know, we spoke in the last 48 hours, and again, I just felt that it was something that needed to be done, and Kyle felt the same way. So seeing as I had been the one that hired Mike, I thought that it was very important for me to get on a plane this morning and fly here and face Mike and be with Kyle to tell him myself that we had made a decision together that we thought was in the best interest of the club.
So if he says a foundation here, Brendan, I don't think we'd argue against that. What was missing for the team to take the next step, though?
Well, I think that's the magic question. I think that, you know, we feel that we haven't played up to our expectations this year. I think that there are key elements to our game and some attention to detail that has been missing often this year. You know, the players know that whenever a situation like this occurs, it does have an impact on the players. But our game is not really meeting our expectations. We're We're mistake-prone on defense. The attention to details aren't there, and even the offense that our team, the explosive offense our team was known for, has been missing for a while now. So there's a lot of work for Sheldon to do, and there's a lot of work for the players to do, and they understand that. But we really believe in them. We believe in the players that we have here. We believe in Sheldon, obviously, in making this decision. And so we're still optimistic that we're going to get it back on track.
Why Sheldon?
Well, I think Sheldon's earned it. I think if you look at Sheldon's track record, the players, the amount of players that play on the Toronto Maple Leafs that have played with Sheldon, for Sheldon, with the Marlies, the job he's done in developing players for us that were some early draft picks, some very late round draft picks, and then just his success. I mean, he's had success basically everywhere he's coached since he started coaching. So I think if you look around at lots of options and all the different options that are there, and you look at someone who's been in an organization for quite some time now and had a lot of success and won a championship and knows these players very, very well, it's a situation where he's earned it.
Brendan, how important might a different message be for this team at this time?
Well, we know how competitive the league is, and we know how difficult it is each and every night. So, you know, like I said, when you feel that the right decision, when you think that you know what the right decision is, you have to act on it. And I think that waiting at this point would have just been the wrong thing. So that's why I flew in today, and Kyle and I had the conversation with Mike.
What did you feel Kyle's relationship factor into this?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, there's a perceived difference of opinion about the way the team would want to be played or be built, or.
Oh, I mean, I'm perceived. I think that there's a lot of things that get perceived, and I obviously we made a change today, but I think that Mike and Kyle have had a good working relationship. I know that there were changes made in the off season and changes made to the coaching staff. And the commitment that management had and the coaching staff had to starting the season and having success was 100% pure and honest, and it just didn't work out that way.
Thanks,
Thanks
very much.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Yes. All right, so that's it. I mean, Brendan Shanahan, he spoke with the media for about 5 minutes. He made an opening statement thanking Mike Babcock, then saying obviously they felt like it was the right decision. There wasn't a lot of back and forth. I don't know if that was the plan. I can't imagine the media didn't have more questions. I'm sure they did. That kind of felt like Shanahan was like, I've said what I've had to say. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Take a couple questions and I'm out.
See you later. I've got to be accountable. I'm here. We made the move. I said what I've said. I'm out of here. Dubas, again, speaking with the team. I believe Dubas will speak tomorrow. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe tomorrow. But, you know, again, since Shanahan's been here, much like the young players, like Matthews and Marner and Nylander, everything has gone beautifully short of playoff success. Right. Like, the first year, it was just everyone was happy to be there against Washington.
Right.
The last 2 years, they could not get past Boston. But the tank was perfect. The hirings worked out well. The signings, the trades. Yeah. Everything has been, according
kind of
to plan,
falling into place. Yeah.
Roses. And now Shanahan, you know, he's dealing with something that he hasn't had to deal with before. We know that when he got here, he let go of Carlisle. But this was he knew when he got here this was going to take a long time.
Yep.
And I'm sure if you were to ask him today in a candid moment, you know, did you think it would get to a point where you would fire Mike Babcock in November without ever winning a playoff series, he'd probably say, no, I didn't envision that ever happening.
No. You're right.
Like, and that's the reality of the situation.
I always wonder how difficult those situations are to call somebody. Because when you say, hey, can we meet with you in room whatever? Like
He knows what's up.
You got to walk down there knowing what's up. And yeah. I just wonder how uncomfortable. It's like you see something on the road and you just got to take a look to see what's up. It's like, I just wonder what the heck that would be like, because it would just be awful.
Yep. Well, and he said, Shanahan, you know, they believed that this was the right decision and you don't wait on it. You know, You act on it, which would suggest they probably believed that this was the right move well before last night.
I was going to say, they've been thinking about it for a while and just pulled the trigger, like you say, while they're hemorrhaging right now. So there was probably no magic date. They're like, oh, by, you know, November 8th, it better be this and that.
Yeah.
To me, I just
want to let people know that you talk to enough players that come through the system. Mike Babcock is a winner, but he's not exactly the greatest guy in the world, and he pisses people off and he rubs people the wrong way. He does a lot of stuff behind the scenes where he literally, and it's not just players, different people in the organization, he will drive people nuts. So it's not like this guy wears on people. He wore on people in Detroit, and he wore out his welcome here. It's not just about the wins and losses. He always talks about good man, good family guy. Have you ever heard a player been interviewed and said, Mike Babcock's a great guy and a great family man and blah, blah, blah? Never.
Well,
I'm just saying.
But here's what I'll guarantee you. Hear that tomorrow. I guarantee it. The players will come out and they will pump his tires and they'll say it. They will. I'm telling you. It's one thing after you win cups and this guy.
You think Austin Matthews is going to say Babs is a great man and a great family man and a great.
I'd be shocked if he doesn't pump his tires.
Because the minute that he doesn't, it's a story. Regardless of whether you believe it or not, Austin Matthews.
He's going to say, it's too bad we couldn't get it done for Mike Babcock.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And I don't know if this is the hill to die on, but. It's one thing for Chris Chelios in the Hall of Fame, cups and all that, to have an issue with him. It's one thing for Mike Modano, Hall of Famer, cups, to have an issue with him. It's another thing for a 22-year-old who's accomplished nothing to come out and say, I don't like that guy. They better be careful with how they issue their statement. Because, again, now the city, they're turning on the players, too. I know a lot of people hated on Babcock, and listen, I had my issues with him, too.
Right.
And I'm fine with this move. It's the right time. Go for it. Sheldon Keefe, he better be the right guy, but we'll find out starting tomorrow night. But these players, I said it before the season started, there's a fork in the road. They can either be the most celebrated generation in Leaf history or the most disappointing / despised in Leaf history. Because they were all drafted here. They all came up together. They all started at the same time. They all started with a bang. Jersey sales off the charts, ratings through the roof, people love them. Now you got paid, and you all got paid too much, in my opinion. And let's see what you got. So I would suggest, from a PR perspective, they be careful.
Well,
they better not come out and say, we didn't like them. No. We wanted them out of here.
There's not
Who
a chance.
You're not going to say
we wanted them out of here. They're just going to say, we're disappointed. We had to be better, blah, blah, blah. They're not going to say good man, good.
They're going to be coached up, though. Oh,
I just want to let people know that this guy was not the most liked guy in the world, and he does greasy things, and he's not exactly.
But that's not why he got fired.
I'm just saying.
No, I understand. I hear what you're saying.
But I'm not Bob McKenzie, but I know a lot of people in the game, and I hear a lot of stories, and it's not exactly like this guy was.
Yeah. No, I get it. You're right.
It's not only Chelios. And Commodore and Modano and
right,
this is not something new to the world. What this guy's all about?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
That's fine, but again, I'm saying if you're
and I understand
Matthews,
it's not all about that. It's about winning hockey games. Scotty Bowman,
exactly.
Apparently nobody liked him either.
Yeah,
but he won.
Well, hard coaches, quite honestly, they just have an expiration date. Mike Keenan, Daryl Sutter, Mike Babcock. Now, everyone eventually. Exits stage left. The timing of this, there's no perfect time. I have to be honest, I was quite shocked that it was today. I thought they would at least give it a couple more games, but then, like Shanny said, at what point does the shoe drop? It had to have been after the Pittsburgh drubbing. That was an embarrassing effort.
That would have
from
been the King
to
Daddy Topper.
Exactly.
And that wasn't Mike Babcock.
No, that was the players.
That was the players.
Yeah.
That wasn't Babcock's system. It was.
You tweeted it. They're flat out embarrassing themselves.
But that was also, calling up a guy who probably isn't an NHL goaltender, and playing him because you don't have any other in the pike right now. Hutchinson didn't work out. Kaskisuo. Maybe he works out. Maybe Sheldon Keefe can get this team to play defense and protect the goaltender a little bit. Maybe he can't.
Well, what do we expect to see differently? Not necessarily starting tomorrow night, but by January 1st, when we look back on the 15-game run that Sheldon Keefe is behind the bench.
I'm going to say I want to see a team that has actually some idea what the hell they're doing in their own zone.
Yeah,
because we've watched it for 5 years and it's not even close.
But I'm saying in terms of like tactical decisions, like for instance,
Craig mentioned it. He said the big boys, you guys are going to get ready to play 22 or 23 minutes a night.
You just double down on your big boys. Those are the guys who make the money, and why not say, go out there and show me how much time you want me to put you on the ice. Mm-hmm. This is a clean slate. Like Sheldon can go in there to that dressing room and say, guys, you got a clean slate with me. Go out and show me how much you want to play nightly. And I agree with Craig because I was in the room. Daryl Sutter came in and said, McGinley, you're going to get as much as you want. But the fourth line guy, if I'm playing you 7 minutes, it better be this best 7 minutes or I'm going to put you in the stands. Like that's the accountability. I don't know. I think Mike Babcock had a different type of accountability. But we didn't see it nightly. We didn't see if a guy wasn't going, all of a sudden his ass is nailed to the bench. Where you see that throughout the league. Like, I watched Edmonton, for example. Dave Tippett will move players around. Jujhar Khaira had 2 goals. All of a sudden he's playing with McDavid one
right.
shift.
Yep.
Like, and that's not just Edmonton. That's in Ottawa I watched last night. Detroit was trying to get something going. Blashill. Like, throughout the league, if one thing is going to be focused on, it will be in-game adjustments by the coach.
Well, and that is where, you know, once the puck drops and you're free-flowing,
still hockey.
It's hockey and it's on the players. But there are certain elements to the style of coaching of Mike Babcock that drew the ire of the majority of Leaf fans, and myself included. I don't want to see the fourth line anywhere close to the ice after a goal. Ever. Ever again.
A goal for.
Or against.
Okay. No kidding.
Ever again.
Shifts after goals are so important.
Ever again. I can't express that enough. They have a backup. They have a back-to-back next week. Now, it's different because they play the same team. Buffalo on the Friday in Buffalo, Saturday in Toronto. Maybe Kaskasuo plays the Friday game. And you save Anderson for the second night. Let's see if that philosophy changes. I'd like to see a completely different personnel killing penalties.
Yeah.
A completely different personnel. Now, injuries factor into that.
How many different guys are you going to pick, Brian? I mean,
well, maybe what you get back to is Ron Hainsey used to almost kill 2 minutes. You tell Jake Muzzin, you got to kill two.
Who the hell has a system where one guy has to kill 2 minutes on the whole penalty?
But you have no other options.
Okay,
I know that's extreme. But you can't – if Cody Ceci and Morgan Riley are out there killing – Morgan Riley cannot kill penalties. He can't.
But he can't. You have to find out who can under a way that he wants to kill. Maybe there's a pressure kill. That's the one thing. Like, it could be – he called it I can't use the verbiage. I had a coach that used to call it eyeballs and –
Right.
Back end. If you see eyeballs, you back off. If you see back end, you go right at it. It could be, by all accounts, it sounds like Sheldon plays an up-tempo style, an aggressive style. I'd much rather have a team go down being aggressive, leaving it all out there. But you have to be smart. The Islanders play a fantastic system. Fantastic. But it protects the players. Like Matt Barzal can play in that. So if they play a style like that, Mitch Marner could play that. Mm-hmm. Austin Matthews, William Nylander, all these talented players can slide into that, and it protects them on nights where they're not going.
Yeah, I'd like to see I wouldn't mind, I said it yesterday, put Hyman back with Matthews and Nylander. Try it. Like, just try it.
What could be worse?
Give it a shot. You know, move Johnsson around. Again, we'll see what Sheldon Keefe has in store, and he can't come in here and completely reinvent the wheel. He's not going to come in here and act like he's lost his mind and start changing everything up. There's going to be an element of stability and carryover for the short period of time. But, you know, look at where they are. And this is why they've made this decision to fire Mike Babcock today. They're like 20th in power play percentage. They're 25th, I believe, in PK. They've got 6 wins in regulation. They have given up the first goal in 18 of 23 games. They have not had a lead in 2 weeks in a game. Like, this is a real problem. Like, they're a mess of a team. A mess. And a coach can change certain elements. He can change up the line. He can change up the system, the messaging, when you play a backup, how many minutes somebody plays. But it's on the players to ultimately dig them completely out. And that's on the big boys.
It is.
Because it's not going to be... Like, Spezza gave you everything he can last night. Don't bank on that continuing tomorrow night.
No. But right? I would argue that Spezza will either be on the third line or he's going to be deployed differently, because in those critical moments, it's going to be JT or Matthews. And he'll run him until the legs go off. Like, you have to do that the first couple weeks. Just establish how you want your top players to play.
I totally agree with that.
See it all the time.
Now, but then it's on the players to be in shape.
But it's been all along on the players. It's just they haven't been able to get it done either under the system or just the way that they've wanted to play right now. It's been way too inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. You know, even small little things. Will Keefe subscribe to the first of the back-to-back having Anderson play or switch that up?
Well, that's what I said.
Carey Price is playing tonight, back-to-back.
That's what I said. Exactly. Like, next week, they've got Buffalo back-to-back. Now, they play the same team.
Right.
So there may be an element of whenever that team plays their starter, we'll play it too, and then we'll kind of square off here.
Right.
But that's a coaching decision.
Agreed.
We'll see. You know, what's the power? Is Tyson Berry going to be on the first power play starting tomorrow
night? Maybe he goes to Freddie Anderson and says, any chance he can play two games?
Maybe.
He might.
At this point, I mean, you're dealing with dire straits, right?
Like, it's his team, though. He can do what he wants with it. He's been handed the keys to it. So if he believes that... Now, I think Kyle will have a big input situation with him, whether they look at the numbers or look at just scenarios, but... It's Sheldon Keefe. It's not just his job. He's on the clock.
Yeah, and he's also dealing with, you know, with the Marlies. He could say anything,
yeah,
and it wasn't getting picked up.
Mm-hmm.
He could say anything, and we might mention it, yeah, maybe, as a throwaway. Oh, Sheldon Keefe said something pretty explosive earlier today. Now, and this is something he's never experienced before, is you got to control the message. Mm-hmm. You're the face of the team. You're the face of the biggest brand in the sport, and the face of what, you know. There's more Leaf fans than any other team in the league, and they're all watching. And there's a lot of people that hate the Leafs that love it even more.
Oh yeah,
this is pornographic for a lot of non-Leaf fans or Leaf haters. I mean, this is as good as it gets, because they are imploding, and they've fired the great Mike Babcock because they've got some guy waiting in the wings who's never coached in the NHL. Like, it's a very aggressive, all-in maneuver that I appreciate, but I don't know if it's going to work.
No, we don't know.
I don't know if Dubas and Keefe can do what Lou Lamoriello and Babcock have done or could be doing if they were still here.
Right.
We'll find out.
There was a Jerry's percentage, I think, a year or 2 years ago. Would Mike Babcock finish his contract here?
We should go back and review that.
I know for a fact we've had that.
Oh, I remember that.
I would have said 0%.
I think we all said zero.
But I think there may have been a Jerry's today if Babcock was going to last until maybe the new year.
May have to readjust that one.
Yeah,
should
for those of you.
Just do the one?
Which one?
The one Jerry's about Babcock? Instead of a full segment of Jerry's, just the one...
I'd like
little Jerry's.
Well, like we're going to save tomorrow. The full thing for tomorrow.
I know, but like, it's appropriate to just lay into the one. Can we play the one, Moles?
But which one are you talking about?
Is there a Jerry's today?
Well, it was that will Babcock still be the? But we know the answer to it. There's no point in playing it now.
Oh,
like we can go around the table
0%.
We can go around the table on Jerry's. You know, in terms of projecting what's going to happen in the future, Sheldon Keefe?
I guess there's no sense of saying, will Babcock be fired from the league?
No.
Yeah, unless we're trying to boost our stats, because we'd all be like 100%.
Exactly.
And whoever gets to it first will play the big wheeler, and that's what you would always do. You'll jump on, say 100%, and then we're going to look like we're following in your lead, but we already know the answer. So...
What exactly was the percentage? Was there anything?
My understanding, and I don't know this because Jerry is the one.
Correct.
You know, he's a self-made man, and he's got autonomy in terms of his takes. But it was, Mike Babcock will still be the head coach on January 1st, which obviously is 0%. And we're going to have to revisit Jerry's percentages tomorrow. The breaking news this afternoon, Mike Babcock has been fired. And Sheldon Keefe will take over as the 31st head coach in franchise history beginning tomorrow night. A tough game in Arizona. I don't know if we've ever said that before,
yep,
but that's exactly what it is. and then at Colorado on Saturday, at Detroit next week. You think the Detroit media is waiting for the Maple Leafs to roll into town?
Might be.
I would suggest they've probably got a few things on their minds. We'll continue to break down the breaking news all the way up until 7 p.m. where the Raptors are playing tonight. 9-4 Raps.
Yep.
We got that going for us here in Toronto. Raptors Magic tonight right here on TSN 1050. Overdrive continues on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our Maple Leaf clue of the day a little bit later in the hour. Our best bets brought to you by Proline as well. The Leafs back in action tomorrow night with a new head coach behind the bench. Sheldon Keefe has been hired. Mike Babcock has been fired. Brendan Shanahan spoke with the media briefly earlier this hour. We're going to head down to Arizona in just a moment and catch up with Mark Masters. But Babcock is out. They're 9-10-4. They've lost six in a row. It's not overly shocking. But we've all been detailing this throughout the afternoon. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And I don't think it would have been any specific game, although the game on Saturday in Pittsburgh, that was ugly. But I think what became clear, and obviously with this result, means it was likely true, and we talked about this a lot after the loss to Boston, when Babcock was kind of hanging in the wind.
Yeah.
Would Dubas go to him and say, you can keep the job, but you've got to show me a different style of coaching? Like, you've got to do this differently. You've got to coach in different forms, in different ways. Because this firing would you can look at the standings and say that's why you get fired.
Right.
But he didn't change anything. The coaching style of Mike Babcock.
For 5 years, we've been talking about their defensive play and nothing changed. How in the hell are you the highest paid coach in the league and you don't change your end zone style? That's insane.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, among other things, putting your fourth line out there after a goal, right? Getting Matthews more ice time, whatever it is.
It's kind of like a minor thing, but it's ultimately a big thing. Putting your fourth line after a big momentum change is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Shifts after goals in the NHL are so important. You want to roll with the momentum. I've had coaches where if you go out there and score a goal, a line's going to go up, and the guys that score the goal, you're right up after them.
Yeah, you go right back. You double down.
Yeah, you double down and say, you know what, you might go out there and do it again. The fourth line? Come on.
And he's been doing it forever. And he did it against Boston in Game 7. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to believe Dubas and Shanahan and company had the conversation with him. Now, maybe Babcock said, I will change. Maybe Babcock said, I'm not listening to you. I get paid more than you. I'm going to the Hall of Fame someday. I've won cups. What have you won? Which would be, you know, probably expected. And ultimately, that's exactly what clearly happened. Babcock went down in his own way. He did his own thing.
Yeah.
But he really never changed year over year. And
well, eventually the message just falls on deaf ears. If you're not having success, you do have to try and change things. Now, they had regular season success, but the start of this season just had a cloud over it. Just so many different storylines. It wasn't even on ice early, and then it became on ice, and then they had injuries, and then they had inconsistencies, and you're looking at players. We were all talking, you know, off air, and then we brought it on air. A guy like John Tavares just didn't look very good last night. Now, you hope everything's all right with him, left the team and all of that. But, you know, it's just that's the type of stuff where sometimes you have those seasons where just for some reason, either inconsistency or injury or where it's just it doesn't go well.
Yep.
And right now, that's what's going on with the Maple Leafs. So Kyle Dubas said, I've got to change this. So I'm going to go to somebody I know and trust. And that's Sheldon Keefe, who has zero experience at the National Hockey League level. And it's, like you say, it's a pressure cooker. He's not being implemented in, with all due respect,
almost
Carolina, Arizona, you know, teams that aren't as covered.
And we'll see how it can work out for the Leafs. I think it was around the day last year the St. Louis Blues decided to make a change. Exact same day, within the day, that they decided to fire their coach. So we'll see what kind of effect this can have on the team.
Yeah, I mean, Berube took over.
I don't know. Binnington. I'm pretty sure it was close to
it this.
It was.
And listen, there's been other examples. Like Mike Sullivan took over for Pittsburgh, and they won a cup that year.
Daryl Sutter.
Daryl Sutter, exactly, in L.A.
For Terry Murray.
Yep, won a cup that year. That's clearly what they are hoping will happen. I think that's probably expecting too much.
Yeah, Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh did it, took over.
Exactly. That's a good point.
Well, you said that?
Yes, yeah, he said that.
I said that.
No, I thought you said
Mike Sullivan.
Or no.
He did. Went Sullivan and then went to. I went to Daryl
Sutter. I thought
Sutter,
you said Berube, and then you said Daryl Sutter, then I threw in Sullivan.
No. That would have been ideal because then all three of us would have been contributing equally.
It's been a long day. Like, we've been on air a lot.
It's just taxing.
It's been stressful.
we need a personal day after this. We might have had our best.
John Tavares had a personal day today.
Yeah. Well, he apparently flew back to Toronto.
Yeah.
So I don't know what is going on with him.
He probably needed to see his boy. He had a checkup at the hospital. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, let's not speculate. Yeah. I don't know. I hope everything's fine, clearly, with him. But he's expected to get back and play tomorrow night. But, yeah, I mean, listen, it's the Sullivan thing at 6:35.
Yeah, we'll have to have that.
Sullivan and Rafalski back to back. Just fire them both off.
I thought you said Berube, and then you said.
You said Berube, Mike Sullivan, and I go, Daryl Sutter took over for Terry Murray. And then
so
you
I
go,
thought
Mike
Sullivan was the one left over. Malls, do you have it, or is it just a disaster?
Just give it a minute. It's probably so good. We got to make sure that we've got it, you know, just perfect. But the setting is interesting as well. In Arizona, in Austin Matthews' backyard, where
mayhem is going on.
I got to think the media down there has been waiting for him to get home, considering the court case, considering it got dropped. Right. I'm sure there's media down there saying, hey, Austin, can you speak on this?
Actually somewhat not excited, but I'm sure he's like, this might be a distraction where I don't have to answer some questions about some goofy stuff.
Well, good luck if you're in Arizona getting through the scrum in Toronto. There are news outlets here in Toronto that are shipping people to Arizona.
Oh, my God.
Like, they are on their way out. The Grey Cup, I wouldn't be shocked.
CP24 is 13 people going out to Arizona right now.
They may have pulled people from Calgary to go to Arizona.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know where Simmons is. Simmons might be in Calgary. I would be shocked if he's not on a flight to Arizona. Like, now they have people down there covering it.
But the game is until this weekend,
so
you can probably send in for a day and in and out.
You got to get down, you cover it, and then...
Right. I would go in there, cover it, tee it up for 18, and back to Cowtown.
Yep. And then you still get the weekend, the Grey Cup's on Sunday.
Here's the monkey business that just happened.
Like, Mike Sullivan took over for Pittsburgh, and they won a cup that year.
Daryl Sutter.
Daryl Sutter, exactly, in L.A.
For Terry Murray.
Yep, won a cup that year. That's clearly what they are hoping will happen. I think that's probably expecting too much.
Yeah. Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh did it, took over.
Exactly.
Did I say Rafalski?
Did I say Sullivan?
Man.
Yes, I said. Instead of did I say Rafalski, we should get did you say Sullivan?
Yeah. That is so funny.
Anyway, that's what happens with no commercials.
That's what you get, though. That's what you're banking on here. Mike Sullivan, Craig Berube, Daryl Sutter, Sheldon Keefe.
But is like
there you go.
Do you believe that this team?
Not right now. Not the way they're playing. It's impossible to picture them having success in the spring.
But that's what I'm
saying. No chance.
I don't know if you know St. Louis. We had written off, but that was such a unique situation. People keep pointing to St. Louis. That's a one in a million chance.
Well, L.A., though, was equally as... Like, they backdoored into the playoffs.
Right.
They got there pushing hard, but they were the eighth seed, and they lost, like, three games the whole ride.
Yeah. I think
they
were 16-3 or 16-4.
It was crazy. Now, clearly, they were built. Like, Kopitar was ready. They had acquired Carter and Richards, and Quick was ready
ridiculous.
To break out.
Yeah, you're right.
And Doughty was a stud, you know. And now you look back on it, and you're like, well, they won another cup 2 years later.
Exactly.
Clearly, they were pretty good.
That's why I look at this team, and I think they're a playoff team, but I don't see that.
No, they're not
cup winning.
They don't have Sid and Malkin.
Right.
They don't.
But, I mean, you've got Matthews and Tavares.
Very good players.
And Marner.
Great players. Not Crosby and Malkin.
But my concern is more, you know, when you look at those teams, it was... it's always guys that are farther down in the lineup that get a big goal or a big play. Who's delivering that here? Now, maybe it's Kapanen. You know, maybe it's Trevor Moore. Maybe the GOAT out of nowhere. But it's their hands are tied because you have to pay a certain amount of money for those lines because you are top-heavy financially.
Now, well, and we knew that coming
in. See if it works.
We knew that 50% of the cap was tied up in four players.
Right.
That said, with Kerfoot, Kapanen, Janssen, Hyman, Riley, Barry, Muzzin, Anderson,
yeah,
there's still a lot of other good players. Like right now, they are a team with good players on them as opposed to a good team. And there is a difference. Mm-hmm. Right? We saw like the Rangers were the best example in the late 90s and early 2000s. They had any big free agent that came up, here's $10 million, come over. Yeah. They couldn't win. Didn't matter how much talent they had. They could not put it together. And listen, Toronto has had playoff performances in the last 3 years. It's not like they keep missing. Okay, this is our year. Oh, I can't believe it.
Right.
They've been in the playoffs 3 years in a row. But the expectation, the plan was more than just a first round.
Right.
And now they're facing complete uncertainty if they can even get there. And if they keep playing like this, they won't just miss. They're going to miss by 15 points.
Yeah, I think that's going to change. I really do. I they're not as bad as they're showing right now. Like I said at the start of the show before all this nonsense started, I just think expectations were way too high as to, Marner signs, everything's locked down regardless of how you fit into the cap. And I think there were people that just flat out said the cup's coming to Toronto no matter what. Mm-hmm. And they forgot that Washington has a team and forgot that, other teams that are right there. Vegas, the team they played last night, is just as good as anybody in the league. And Florida got better. Like that Atlantic, that is murderer's row. It's going to be. I know Buffalo's taking a step back, but Florida's really good. Montreal continues to battle. I know they're injured, lost last night. And
hey, Tampa's still losing too.
Exactly.
I don't think there's any such thing as murderer's row in the NHL anymore. You look at it, there's so much negative. And how many teams are like cooking right now where you're like, man, watch out for that? How many?
Washington and the Islanders.
Washington and the Islanders, and there might be one out in the West.
Well, I mean, Dallas is, but they're cooking in small.
Yeah, but Dallas, two weeks ago, they couldn't win a game. They were 1-7, and Jamie Benn was out of the league.
Yeah. There's two teams. Like, the Islanders are 14-0-1 in the last 15 games.
Yeah.
They just accomplished something no other team in history has accomplished.
There is no murderer's row in the NHL right now.
No.
If you can just get it together come playoff time, anybody's got a chance.
But my point was more at the Atlantic isn't what it was last year. Those teams are good. Like even Ottawa.
I think it's worse.
Ottawa's not bad.
But the parity, what I'm saying, there's no free 2 points. Like Ottawa's showing that. Now, I know people were pointing out Ottawa's 3 point behind the Leafs, blah, 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 with two games in hand.
The Leafs are clearly better than Ottawa.
Correct.
One more name. Dan Bylsma.
Yes. Our buddy Kenny Peggs sent that.
Did not say.
My buddy Johnny Germain sent that. Dan Bylsma took over for Therrien. Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh did it, took over.
Exactly.
Danny Bylsma took over in
Can
Pittsburgh.
I hear the whole thing again? Because I just want to get a sense of what went down.
Like Mike Sullivan took over for Pittsburgh and they won a cup that year.
Daryl Sutter.
Daryl Sutter did, exactly,
took
in
over
L.A.
for Terry Murray.
Yep, won a cup that year. That's clearly what they are hoping will happen. I think that's probably expecting too much.
Yeah, Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh did it, took over.
Exactly. It's such conviction.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, wait till they hear this contribution.
That's what I was like. Mikey.
I've got a nugget
Mikey
here that they missed.
Sullivan, boy, watch out for this one.
I've got a nugget that
they
missed.
They didn't know about that one.
It's like
you just said it. He only said it 10 seconds earlier.
Yeah. It's like you Googled it and you're like,
yeah, I got one.
Here comes a heater.
Mike
Sullivan in Pittsburgh did it, took over.
Exactly.
Your reaction was the best.
I have to play coy. If I'm not sarcastic, I'm nothing at this point.
Exactly.
We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Sabres, December 17th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: this former Leaf was taken in the same draft as current president of the Maple Leafs, Brendan Shanahan. Very nice. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Looking at the NBA board tonight, I'm on San Antonio at Washington. I like Philly big tonight against New York and Brooklyn at home against Charlotte. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. All right, Leafs Arizona tomorrow night. Sheldon Keefe making his debut behind the bench. Got Indianapolis taking on Houston in the Thursday nighter. That is a great game.
This is that week, my game or yours?
That is your game. You will be on the clock tomorrow night. That's a tough game.
That is tough.
Tough game.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just picked this past week.
There's been a lot of money that has exchanged hands here.
We might as well just leave it here because it just goes back and forth.
Well, Carlo will take it.
Yeah. Carlo probably would.
Parlay it into something.
He's my guy. We go into foxholes when we talk about stuff.
I called him out for that on Friday.
Did you?
Well, I said, it's great to see
you.
He was in here. I said, you're the cooler, man. I've been hearing so much about you.
How was that, by the way?
Hey, it was outstanding.
Yeah.
He's the man.
Two co-hosts that paid attention. Or he had one co-host that paid attention.
Right.
It was just you and him, wasn't
just,
it?
Just the two of us, yeah.
Mike Sullivan.
Throwback. First stop tomorrow at 6 a.m. You know what they'll be talking about.
Just he'll be fired up.
Oh, yeah. Koliakovo and Landsberg are going to be jacked.
They'll have both drank about 8 bottles of that, what is that, 5-hour?
Yeah, they'll have like 25 hours of energy. They're going to drink 5 5-hour energy drinks.
They'll be wired.
Yeah.
I was quite committed, and I've never done this. I wanted to take calls at 7 p.m. No. until 10. Me and could have done calls till 10.
Ordered food
and just sat back and listened and just had a blast.
Oh, there are some callers out there. We should take calls. Maybe we'll take calls tomorrow. We were thinking about doing it anyway based on the game.
Right.
And then I know you're rolling your eyes, but I'm telling you.
You're a liar.
No, I'm not. Yeah. Because the grappa, you can talk to him. That was the plan. And then Babcock got fired and all hell broke loose.
Oh, so really, if he didn't get fired, you would have taken a call?
That was my plan. That was the intention.
Oh, my God.
But then he gets fired. We get Dregs on, Ray on. Craig came in. Shanahan spoke.
I know. Rappaport just called. You're so full. Like,
he's just making things up. But
you're making things up.
It's all right, though.
You're Mike Sullivan.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe tomorrow we take calls.
Aren't we having Jerry's percentages tomorrow?
At 5:30, we're going to do Jerry.
But I don't think we do it. I think it's sacred. We only do it Wednesdays because we have to readjust them now.
That's fine. Jerry can finally put in some work.
Yes.
You know, it's his. Jerry, we'll send an email to Jerry, and he'll be ready for tomorrow at 5:30.
I think it'll be good.
I think it's going to be awfully weird. On a game day, not a Wednesday, he's got routines.
I know. I'm worried about that. He'll be a disheveled mess. But it could be the best stuff we've had in a long time.
Maybe he's rattled, and he's out just plastered right now.
Could be.
At appeal.
Maybe he's on his way to Arizona. He's got to check in on the Maple Leafs, the cash cow. Right? You never know. So Jerry's percentage is tomorrow. Mix in some calls potentially tomorrow. Leafs in action. We're coming off a Raptor game. You guys are both here, I'm assuming.
Yes. I'm here
okay.
the rest of the week.
There you go. The Raptors are up next on TSN Radio. First up tomorrow at 6 a.m. Make sure you tune in. It's going to be wild. Leafs lunch with Andy, Matt Cause. Everyone fired up. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Join us.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.